Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the end of May already. We're done. It's the 25th of May, 2021.
So there goes another year, 2021. Everybody's going to be raving about how great 2021 was after, I guess, a horrible 2020. Is that what it's going to be? It's kind of, oh, we're in the roaring 20s. Here we go.
Yeah, well, so far, no roaring.
No. Well, a couple of things. My voice is getting better. You know, so do you remember I had all those impersonators that were on Twitter that were stealing my profile and going out to people and contacting them through direct messaging and then saying, hey, I got a great Bitcoin deal for you, whatever it was?
Yes, I remember. That was just about 5 or 6 months ago.
Yeah, and then it happened again. Well, all of a sudden, there are people on Facebook that are now imitating me. And they start out the conversation like this. Hey, I don't know if you heard, but I got strep throat. And things are better and okay. And I don't know. I wasn't sure what the reason for what that was at first.
It was because they don't sound like you and they wanted to talk to somebody.
That could be. But do you remember last week I had laryngitis on the show?
Yeah.
You think
I realized that, but I think this was the reason. I know it's not going to sound like me. So you get called by somebody. Yeah, it's me, Andrew.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. My throat's killing me.
Yeah.
It's killing me. Yeah. Fauci's my name.
Well, they're doing the same thing and then trying to talk about Bitcoin and all. And I sent in a request to Facebook and I said, hey, there was like five people on Facebook that had my profile picture and kind of my name. And I sent it in. I said, hey, this person is imitating me. You go through the little process of reporting them. They write me back. They said, we do not find this to be in violation of our terms of service.
What?
I swear. Five different ones.
I've got to clip this and put it on the No Agenda show.
Yeah, it's true.
Wow.
So I don't know what the reason for that is and why we're seeing that.
That's a scandal as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Yeah, your level's a little low. You got a little volume going on there?
I can try and get up for you.
Just a little bit, yeah.
How's that sound? Is that better?
Hello, John. When did you get here?
Hello.
Yeah, that's a little loud now, but yeah, that's better.
Okay, drop it back just a bit.
Yep. Okay, so let me turn this down up here. Okay, so let's talk about some of the things that happened. As a warm-up, first of all, we have a new richest person in the world announcement. That's going to be very exciting. We'll talk about that tonight. Social media legislation.
What?
Yes.
It's not Bezos anymore? Bezos? Bezos?
And I'm just going to spoil the surprise right now. It's not you either.
Huh.
Just to let you know. We have new social media legislation coming out of Florida. We had a big crypto crumble over the weekend, and then we have a trying their best to claw it back with all sorts of reasons, because the fact of the matter is, if you're a Bitcoin bull, the best thing that could have ever happened was that it drops.
Buy more.
Yeah. We have a new warning on prices of houses and other risk assets. Look at your essay that you have put out just today. And understanding what an accelerationist is. It's a new word out there, accelerationist. Man, my mic seems really hot. I don't know what's going on. Maybe not. Actually, it's my head, definitely my headset, which I don't really know why that is.
Not loud enough again?
No, I'm loud. I'm like really.
Oh, you're loud. You're not loud here.
Yeah, it looks good on all the meters, but I don't know.
If it looks good on the meters, that's all it
counts. Yeah, exactly.
Don't let your ears fool you.
Yep. All right, market update. Market's been kind of meandering around, not doing much, a little up, a little down, end of the week, last week down, a little bit of a downslope, downtrend, I would call it, over the last several weeks, not really gaining any traction. What's interesting to note is, really important, that one of the correlations that we saw for a long period of time was when yields were up, NASDAQ down. Yields were down, NASDAQ up. The idea that, hey, you know what? NASDAQ companies and tech companies really like those low rates. It's good for all sorts of things, and especially issuing bonds. It's good for their price earnings multiple calculation, all sorts of things. Well, that's kind of not really holding on too well. It was up today a little bit, a very small amount, but bonds cracked below a key yield level. So that's something. One of the adages right now is don't short a boring market. That's
Don't short a boring market.
Yeah, don't short a boring market because something's about to happen. Now, obviously, it could go either way. But usually boring market means is there's not a lot of selling going on either. There's no selling pressure. So, you know, when things do happen, they're not there either. Because if you have kind of no buyers and you had sellers stepping in, that would really force things down. But you're not getting any pressure to the downside. So don't short a boring market, they say. Eh.
Who's they?
Them. The guys, the people. You know, the ones that write the stuff. You're a they, you're a them, you're a those. We are still a few percent from the all-time highs, waiting for something. Update on home prices and meme stocks are moving. We have an end of the month. We saw AMC and all the stonks start moving pretty substantially today. Real quick, I went to a color run this weekend. Actually, I didn't go to the color run. Let me back up. I went for my usual weekend kind of joggy, walky, runny thing that I do. You know, I get out there every day. I do something in the morning. I went down towards the river and I was running and I saw these big signs and stuff. I'm like, hey, what's going on? So this guy says, I go, there's a cop there. I said, excuse me. I'm not kidding about this either. I said, what's going on? He says, there's a colored run. I'm like, what? A colored run. I'm like, oh, I'm not sure what that means, but okay. So I start walking a little bit further. I said, I think he means a color run, not a colored run, but okay. So I get towards the next stop. I see all these people, tons of people, no masks, no nothing. Like nothing's ever happened, which is great. We're in Florida, so nothing really ever did seem to happen. And what this is, you run, it's a 5K, and at various points around the course, there is this colored powder like they do in India. And they spray it on you. It's big plumes of colored smoke. It's pretty. You know, it's green.
It's colored smoke or colored powder?
It's like powder, but it makes a smoke. You know, when it's
so you breathe this in, this can't be good.
It wasn't good. I had this. It's, let's just say that cleaning your nose out and your lungs out afterwards is not great, right?
I'd like to know what was in this. Crap.
I don't know because I went there and I wasn't in the run.
Particulate can't be good for your lungs.
No. It was not easy to get off of my arms with even scrubbing for 2 days.
Yeah, that means you can't cough it out either.
Right. Yep. So anyway, that was kind of interesting. It was a lot of fun. It was fun to see all the different colors and stuff. So, all right, let's talk about Robert Shiller.
Robert Shiller, Case Shiller.
Yep, exactly. The Case Shiller guy that does... As they always say, Nobel Prize winning economist. Once you get that, it always goes in front of your name. So we got Nobel Prize winning economist Robert Shiller is worried about a bubble that's forming in some of the market's hottest trades. He says in real terms, the home prices have never been so high. And his data goes back 100 years. Now, remember, you have to pick this apart a little bit. He says in real terms, so it's inflation adjusted. So he thinks that this is really kind of very significant. And there's a lot going on in the real estate market that we're going to talk about tonight because you have to wonder where the next stop on this whole thing is.
Well, the real estate market was kind of forced into a crash in 2008, 2009. This is a little early for another crash.
It's not as levered. Well, at least we don't see it as being as levered,
right? And it's not as leveraged.
But the question is, Did we know back then the extent of the leverage where?
No, this is, you might be true, but I mean, you might be right about that, but there's also a couple other variables here that I'm not going to be able to question his authority, but we're at the moment where the second baby boom, which took place, it created the millennials, has been hankering to move into real estate, and they've been kept out of it and convinced that apartment dwelling is the way to go. And this is a pretty large group, and they've accumulated enough money to make a move into housing.
Right.
The second thing is these centers of where all the activity, economic activity is starting to concentrate here and there, which is jacking up the prices in those areas for real estate.
Yeah. And actually, the numbers that we saw today were pretty substantial in terms of the year-over-year growth of housing values on the 20-city, but the all-country basis as well. Pretty incredible.
But then when you go on, I go on Zillow, mm-hmm. and I look around, and you'll find pockets of places where you can get a house for $75,000.
Well, where are you talking about? I mean, you're talking about like...
Well, in the middle of nowhere, Nevada is a good place, but right. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania might be another one. I mean, they're all over the place. And then they're in the populous areas of back east in the cities that are kind of like not flourishing, let's say.
Yeah.
I mean, I have mixed feelings about this idea.
Well, some of the things that are happening, though, and again, when you start to hear from like the CEO of major real estate companies coming out with a tweet storm, like 15 long, and basically starts the whole thing out with, this is insane. We're going to talk about this in a second. I'm going to get to that. We have a couple things down here. We'll kind of skip to that. But what Schiller is talking about, he says that there's a very real psychological market. It's a very impressive technology, he says, but the ultimate source of value is so ambiguous that it has to do with our narratives rather than reality, which I think there's a lot of truth there in the last part of that, right?
Well, I mean, that could be because I just gave you a narrative.
Right. So I was thinking of, now he talked about cryptocurrencies. He says, I was thinking about buying them to experience the effect because he grouped the cryptocurrencies into this kind of area of bubbles. He said, I'm going to do it maybe just for the effect of it. I know a lot of people do that, actually. I never bought Bitcoin, but maybe I should be active in the market. What the hell is that all about?
Wow. Yes. What is that all about?
I know. It was like a weird moment of listening to this guy just rambling about like all these worries he have. He's like, you know, the cryptocurrency market is definitely a bubble, but I don't know. Maybe I need to experience it before I say anything about it. Yeah, I should maybe I'll buy some. And then I could feel what it's like, what other people feel. And maybe I'll have a different opinion, but maybe I won't. I'm not sure. You know, that's kind of like what was going on.
That's crazy. That's really nutty. He's getting old. How old is the guy?
Schiller's, I don't know. He's got to be in his, I don't know, 60s. Let's see.
He's got to be older than that.
Robert Schiller. He is, let's see here, 75. Yeah, well, maybe he's a bit older. Maybe you're right.
He's a baby boomer.
Yeah. But let's go down to some more housing stuff. Then we'll kind of move back to the things on the other side. There was this wild tweet storm, as I mentioned, by Glenn Kellerman. He's the CEO of Redfin. Redfin's a pretty well and popular discount type of they do a lot of things. They do commercial real estate, but also residential. And I put the link in the show notes for episode number 557. And he starts off with this tweet storm. It's like 15 threaded tweet with, it's been hard to convey, though through anecdotes or data, how bizarre the U.S. housing market has become. For example, he says a Bethesda, Maryland home buyer included in her written offer a pledge to name her firstborn child to the seller. And she lost the bid. He said the second thing, there are now more realtors than there are listings.
But this could be.
I'm not so sure that's really an important point, because you may have a lot of people just get the license and just...
We also had a downturn, an economic downturn. My daughter was thinking about becoming a realtor. I mean, everybody's, it's just one of these fads. It's like a fad. I'm not buying that as important.
No, I agree. I agree also. He says, in Reddit's annual survey of nearly 2,000 home buyers, 63% reported having bid on a home that they didn't have seen in person. So they didn't see it. They just bid on it.
Yeah. Well, this is dumb.
Right.
That could be causing issues.
But I find it really interesting.
That's stupid.
When we hear this guy who is the CEO of Redfin saying how bizarre the market is. He wrote how bizarre the U.S. housing market has become, which is kind of interesting because most of these guys would just keep on lopping this all up, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So I'm not sure where he was going with this.
So what's the point of it? What's the point of his complaining?
He went through a lot of different things to just show how crazy stuff is. You know, this is the kind of situation where, you know, maybe he likes to normalize it. Maybe he doesn't. He's worried that this will all end very badly. That will end very badly for him, too.
Or maybe he's trying to create a moment of panic by so look at the crazy things people are doing. Everyone wants to buy real estate. Let's get in now while you can.
Artificial pull forward panic. Could be. I don't know. It seemed a little bit more authentic than that. Talking about this stuff.
In real estate, the guy's a sales guy for starters. So let's.
That's true. That's true.
Make sure we don't lose track of that idea.
Right. Now, in terms of the Case-Shiller home prices, we saw the national index, which measures home prices across the country, and it displayed a 13.2% gain over the last year, which is the highest rate since December 2005.
It's high.
The 20 city center index showed that Phoenix saw the largest increase with a 20% jump on a year-over-year basis.
Yeah, that tells you something's wrong.
Followed by San Diego.
Who the hell wants to move to Phoenix?
Who's moving to San Diego?
San Diego's beautiful.
Yeah, but I thought everybody's caravanning out of California.
That's a myth. I mean, it's not as though the population didn't go down enough that we lost a congressman, but there's other reasons for that. It's mostly people in these high-priced little centers like Los Angeles, San Francisco, places like that decided that they're fed up because they can't, you know, they do the math. There's a company, somethingsomething.com, which is like leavingthebayarea.com. I don't have the exact URL for it, but and all they do is specialize in talking people into moving out.
Hmm. What's the purpose of that?
It was just to benefit. It's supposed to be like a system that then they can, in other words, the purpose is they make some vig on helping you set up with a moving company and helping you this, helping you that.
Oh, I'm moving. I'm moving.com. I'm moving. WeHelp.com kind of thing.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. So Seattle was up 18.3%.
It's ridiculous.
So 18% year-over-year. You had a $500,000 house, round number. We're talking about $100,000 gain on that house. And don't get me wrong, there may have been the theory that, well, we're measuring it from the trough. But no, we didn't see a big dip necessarily in housing prices on a year-over-year basis during this period. That, you know, I just don't understand. It's the cheap money, right? That's clearly...
It helps
firing up stuff. It's the, as you mentioned, the incredible amount of I'm getting the hell out of mom and dad's house finally going on.
Finally.
And I think there's also, I do believe, and I've seen this in Florida, there is this, hey, I have a house in, let's say California, and it's a $1.7 million house. And wait a minute, the same house in Florida is $800,000, let's say, right? Same kind of comparable house, right?
Yeah, same house.
And they're like, wait, I pay 1.7 in California. The hell with it. I'll bid a million.
Well, Florida house is, well, there's another aspect to this too, but the Florida house should be an equivalency because the weather's pretty, I mean, people like California because of the weather and some of the situations and the lifestyle and the cost of living in Florida is not that different. But there's this one thing that keeps cropping up because Adam's noticed it because he sold his house and bought another place. And we're noticing around here, which is the speculators.
Oh, yeah.
Just buying up houses left and right. We have two companies that advertise in the San Francisco Bay Area. John Buys Houses, I believe, is one of them. And the other one is Bill Buys Houses. And these guys come out and say, I'm buying your house. Whatever it is, you want to sell your house, I'll buy it right on the spot. And they're just accumulating houses and then renting them out.
And you think these are
fronts? I think this is
fronts.
I'm sorry. No, I think this is legitimate. I don't think it's a front.
No, but do you think the way that they're doing it is, hey, I'm Bill. Let me buy your house. Is a front for a bigger company behind the whole deal?
Oh, yeah. Probably for a bank.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't believe for a minute there's a guy named Bill. But they're buying these houses left and right, and it's causing all kinds of problems. I'm told that in Austin, Texas, this is a huge problem. In fact, I think Adam's house, when he sold it, he says he sold it to an investor, a woman who's buying a number of houses up.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And this is going on all over the country. And
I mean, are they doing it for a flip? Or are they doing it for a rental? I mean,
they're doing it for a rental. There's no flipping going on here.
And Adam lives off the beaten path. He's not like just in the middle of the city in a brownstone. We were there. You and I were at his house. And
yeah.
He's not.
Yeah, no, he's not. Well, you could call it a suburb, but it's still Austin proper.
Right. Right.
I mean, to me, a true suburb's got a different city name.
That's
like Levittown.
Oh, Levittown. But, I used to live near there.
But I would. So I think maybe this is causing the slight bubble. If it wasn't mentioned by Schiller, I don't know if he's clueless then. I think it's a huge problem. And I think it should be illegal.
Well, there's a buck to be made. We know what's going to end up happening. We're going to have the investors in and then just going to get in there, whether it's going to be publicly traded companies that are going to mass this, private equity, or even smaller groups.
It always says to get covered up.
Always. It's always the same thing. Now, what's interesting is we saw the increase in houses was somewhat due to the new home sales, the cost of materials, right, to build. So we know that lumber prices were on.
Yeah, that I think that's inflationary. I think that jacks up the price of all houses.
Yeah, it has. Well, it's interesting because lumber prices, we started talking about this about, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and this vertical ascent that we saw. And there was 8 straight days as of last Wednesday that lumber futures fell. 8 straight days, kind of like reversing a lot that happened prior to that. And there's all this, you know, crazy frenzy that was going on. Prices have fallen every day since lumber hit a record of $1,711, now down to $1,200. Now, still extraordinarily high. But that was an unsustainable move. When you start, when you start to see memes of people like going to with a F-150 stacked with 2x4s and say they're driving to the IRS to pay their taxes and just going to lay down the 2x4, you know, those kind of things.
That's cute.
You know, something was not right. So it is getting better. New home sales did drop. I think it was a much larger drop today than anticipated in the new home sales. Some of that's blamed on the extraordinary increase in prices, and a lot of that was because of the built-in pricing of lumber, copper, all materials. I was talking to somebody today about two different people, about two different items related to supply chain and issues with getting goods. The big issue is chlorine right now.
Yeah, we had Mimi was down from Washington a week or two ago, and she bought a giant bin of chlorine from Costco. And she says there's no chlorine up north at all.
Yeah. I mean, I talked to somebody today who's in the pool service, actually, a listener of ours. And we talked about this and kind of, I read some articles on it. Here's what happened. There was a big fire last year at a factory called BioLab, which is a major producer of not only chlorine, but there's another component with the, I think there's some kind of stabilizer and the tablets, right? The chlorine tabs, not just the straight chlorine. Yeah. And some prices have doubled since last summer. And materials for building pools and backyard decks are in short supply. He went and bought like $2,000 worth of tabs before everything disappeared. And he's, I guess maybe, let's say it was $2 a tab before, and now he's selling it for $5. But a lot of these other people that are in his business, they can't get them.
Well, they can from him for $5.
Right, well, or even higher, scalping
chlorine. Or higher scalpers.
Yeah, scalp the chlorine. But this is just, again, another issue. One of the things that we saw of other items, for example, I talked to somebody in the business of sporting goods, You know, selling things like tennis rackets and pickleball rackets and golf clubs and baseball bats, things like that. The guys that are the main distributors in the country on this can't get the goods. Just can't get them. They're supposedly stuck on ships for some reason. They just can't get them.
China.
Right, and you can't, and then they can't get them. So therefore, their orders aren't flowing into the stores. Stores are pissed off. Now, the next thing that's about to happen is that they're going to raise prices 20 to 40% depending on the product.
Well, that's an artificial increase.
But what is that? That's back to being inflation. Inflationary. No question.
Yeah, no,
that, right?
I don't understand why they don't call it what it is, which is it is inflationary.
Well, but because if you did, you would be, you know, they can't because then you'd be an accelerationist. Which we're going to get to in a second. Let's go back. I got to go up. We got lots of notes on other things.
It's funny that this term is, we used the term on the show, we discussed it on the No Agenda show.
Accelerationist, you did?
Yeah, but it was about the push toward Marxism.
The acceleration towards Marxism?
Accelerationism, yeah.
Hmm.
And it's also a push towards something else. The term is used a lot by a lot of different segments of the society.
Well, I think it's once again, just trying to come up with something that they can kind of like hold in their hands and utilize as sort of a like an illusionist would to...
Yeah.
Take your eye off whatever's really going on.
I always think of the small plot of land in the Woody Allen movie where the old Hebrew comes up. He says, I'm relishing my small plot of land. He's got this little 4-inch by 4-inch grass little thing, and he holds it in his hand. You never saw that movie?
I think
it was Love and which it was movie? Love and Death.
Oh, I don't know. It doesn't sound familiar. And he was holding just a plot of land in his hand.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
You had to be there.
Yeah, I guess you thought it was funny. Meme stocks. We saw
yes,
that.
I did. I thought it was hilarious, actually.
Yes, I could tell. AMC, COS, GameStop. Big news. Big moves today. Like GameStop was up 20% today, which is great news for you. Because I've already put it on the game for you.
I'm going again.
Number 6. It's on the game. So I thought that was interesting. And also want to mention Space, the Final Frontier. Now I put this on the game some time ago. We had a nice little gain on it. Virgin Galactic. This is the
Your favorite.
Yeah, this is the company that is started by Richard Branson, and Chamath Palihapitiya got involved in it. And then it was picked up by ARK Investments and Kathy Wood. And what happened was, one by one, they started selling it. First, we saw that Chamath sold some, and then he sold some, and then she was all out of it. Meanwhile, they did what they needed to do, which was one thing. It was a very simple process. They needed to announce that they had another test flight in the making. And once they did that, as long as it went up and came down, and the pilots were safe, the stock would pop. Well, they made the announcement. They made the announcement that there was going to be a test flight on Saturday. That was a few days before. Well, the stock was up like 20%. Well, on Saturday, they took the flight, and they came back down. Everything was smooth. Stock was up another 20% on Monday.
Wow.
So, nice little move there. They're designed to hold up to 6 passengers in this spacecraft, the Unity spacecraft, along with 2 pilots. The company also has about 600 reservations for tickets on future flights, sold at prices between $200,000 and $250,000 each.
Yeah.
Now, if they were to give you a press pass, all expense paid, maybe you'd have to get there to the where they
lunch. Take off. Yeah.
Would you go?
No.
No. And is that because you're concerned about your life, or
it doesn't? I think there's a combination. Yes, that would be the main concern. And I'm not interested. I mean, if I was going into orbit and I'd been trained as an astronaut and I was working on, you know, government equipment that I could trust, even though, you know, there's that. It's dubious, too.
There's a big
and that. And I really had a thing about going into space. I could see doing it, but I'd have to have, I'd have a lot of money and I'd felt, but just even getting a free ride on this thing, I don't see, it's just, it's a joy ride. It's, you go flying up into the air,
yeah,
and you know, and then you come down. It just doesn't see, it seems like a kind of a dubious thing to want to do.
People do this even all the time on roller coasters. They do this all the time.
I like roller coasters, you know, but I,
people do these things that it's about 11 minutes. I mean, listen, people,
that's not even the roller coaster rides. Some of them are, seem to be longer than that, but it's 11 minutes.
I think it's 11 minutes in orbit. I think it's 11 minutes.
Yeah, and then here's the other thing. It's not even the, it's the future I think of. It's not like, you know, if you get blowed up in one of these things, you're dead. You're just done. But everyone's going to think, well, that guy was an idiot. I mean, that's the problem I have.
Yeah, it's not like,
I don't want to go, I don't want to die up with everyone thinking I'm an idiot. Right.
It's not like you could put on also a parachute just in case.
No, you can't do that.
That's not going to work out, you know, but, I don't know. It looks like a lot of fun. It's, you know, people with money, they're going to do this and
they're bored. They're bored.
They get bored. So it's only 11 minutes. It's suborbital or it's some.
And if somebody comes up to you and says, you know, I took that rocket ship ride, or somebody says that to me, I say, 11 minutes? Do you think was that a good use of your money? I mean, there are starving people on the street. There's homeless. God. Yeah, that's what I do.
Do you think it's going to come with a picture package? Like you get back and they walk you through a gift shop?
A lot of photos of your face. Yeah. Crunched down and yeah, of course it will.
Yeah, you're gonna have that. Oh, and you know, I want that on a mug. I want that on a t-shirt. And can you put that on a sticker?
Yeah. Well, you probably get some of those perks for free, I'm thinking, for that kind of money.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. I want to talk about a couple of things coming up. Number one, bogleheads, the new rules there. And some new wording. We talked about this as accelerationist. It's even hard to say, but let's talk about that a second. But first, before we do that, we have to introduce our great sponsor, Our Crowd, because a lot of people have been wishing that they got in early on some of the best performing IPOs of 2019 and 2020. Well, Our Crowd investors were, and now you can join them in what's next. With Our Crowd, accredited investors have access to invest directly, easily, and most importantly, early. Our Crowd investors have benefited from Our Crowd IPOing companies like Beyond Meat, or being bought by companies like Intel and Microsoft and Nike and Oracle. Today, you could join Our Crowd's investment in Cytoreason. Cytoreason has partnered with 5 of the 10 largest pharma companies to deliver life-saving drugs at a fraction of the time and cost. And Cytoreason's AI models the human body at the molecular level, completely changing what's possible in the trillion-dollar drug development landscape. And you can get an early on Cytoreason and other opportunities at Our Crowd. Just go to ourcrowd.com/DHU. If you're interested in investing, you want to get in early, you need to join Our Crowd. The account is free. Just go to ourcrowd.com/DHU. Starting to sound more like a broadcaster over all these years, right?
Well, you sound like you sound good. I think your sales approach is good, but you're in the business of selling stuff.
Oh yeah, I am. Oh yeah.
So you do a good job. I liked it, and I like the idea of that company. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. So they got some cool stuff. Actually, it was. Do you remember? I think we talked about the show. There was a company called Memic. Does that ring a bell to you? I think Memic, if I'm not mistaken, it was a robotic surgical company.
Vaguely, maybe.
That was one of the ones that we talked about way back when in Our Crowd, and they're IPOing. So it's coming out of the investment and it's going through, actually, I think it's going through a SPAC, you know? So let's talk about bogleheads. You know what this forum is? This messaging site is?
No.
It's all about John Bogle, but they call him Bogleheads, who was the inventor, the creator, the founder of Vanguard. Who believed
of
in
what?
Vanguard funds.
Well, Vanguard guy, yeah.
Who believed in low cost indexing. And that was a big thing when he started. It was like, oh, wow, look at that. And, well, There's new rules now on the Boggleheads board. Now, these guys are all about research, due diligence. They're all about value. They're about, again, low cost, indexing, passive investing. That's kind of the, if you follow that crowd, that's what they do. And it's like, hey, you know what? Why get involved in any of this other crap? Just make money by investing in, you know, global indices. Well, crypto conversations are now off limits, prohibited, along with lottery tickets, Ponzi schemes, and tulip bulbs. So you can't talk about tulip bulbs.
Who's doing tulip bulbs nowadays?
I don't even understand. Maybe just keep the list going, just in case it never comes back. And in the, they don't. You know what? They don't have. They didn't have Beanie Babies on there. Now that I think about it, maybe they thought that was okay.
Yeah, but that is come and gone.
Right. So let's see what we got here. So they said in the case of crypto, the message is so dangerous and the backers are so numerous and relentless that we feel we are asking too much of our members who are trying to counter their claims.
Oh, so they just banned it.
So they just banned it. I don't know how they're going to. There must be some moderation there somewhere. But I don't know.
You can you could do a key. That would be actually easy to automate because there's only so many words you can use if you're going to discuss crypto at all.
Let's talk about. but they'll do something else. They'll put in like. You know, different word spellings.
It's not going to work. Then the moderator will catch that and throw the guy off the forum.
Yeah. All right. We have a new wording. This is what I want to get to. This is the heart of the discussion tonight. Chicago Fed President Charles Evans. He was talking about inflation and how, you know, he just doesn't see it. He says, it seems to me that such an accelerationist view is on the minds of many of those warning about an outbreak of inflation today. Now, let's just take that sentence. Can we look at that for a second? The first thing is he's poo-pooing and putting a label on to something that is apparently, the way he's viewing it, an extreme view and someone who is hysterical almost. Does that make sense so far?
Well, it does because I think of the use of the word outbreak. Right. Which makes it sound like something's just going to break out. You know, some animal's caged and you said something gets out, which is hysterical in itself. Hysterical in the way of being panicked. So, it makes sense.
Right. But now you're using also the word outbreak. I must say that they in this kind of environment, you know, it does bring up all sorts of other things. Anyway, he said, once the burst of post-pandemic relative price level adjustments is behind us, and with the impetus from fiscal support receding, I don't know where that happens. It seems like they're continually putting money in. The path to unacceptably high and persistent inflation in 2022 and beyond likely relies on an accelerationist storyline. I think the risk is very low. So what's interesting is if we have 5% inflation this year, I'm just picking a number. I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm just picking that number. And then we have like 2.5% next year and 2%. We didn't get rid of those extra price increases. The price is still higher by the 5%, the 2%, the 2%. So even though we don't have a continuation of the unacceptably high and persistent inflation, we still have much higher prices and much higher than we were pre-pandemic.
5%, 2%, 2% would be a lot higher, yes.
Right. He also says, prior to the pandemic, where the unemployment rate was a historically low 3.5%, inflation certainly wasn't spiraling upward. Furthermore, given the low rates of inflation experienced over the past 15 years, inflation expectations will likely drifted noticeably below 2%. So now he's talking about the last 15 years. One of the big things we do know is that over the last 15 years, the incredible innovation in technology really created the inflation spiral. One of the big things was just simply price comparison, right? And price transparency and visibility was there for us to, and allowed us to say, well, we don't have to go to the corners. Do you remember the corner stationery store?
We still have one in the around here.
Do you remember the pricing on that stuff?
It wasn't, it's not as, I still go to this store.
Oh, so the pricing's okay?
Yeah, it's fine. It's bull crap that the pricing's bad.
I went to some and it was like, really? A pen is how much? You know?
Well, that is, that might be true in some parts of the country, but because there's so many big box stores around here, the prices are very competitive, I think. And it's much more convenient. You can talk to the guy. And I almost bought something, the wrong thing the other day. They wouldn't have ever stopped me at a regular store. They have, yeah, I buy tape for a a calculator, balancing the checkbook, not balancing, but doing deposits. Mm-hmm. And I always go to run out of tape. I go grab one. I put it. He says, this is probably the wrong tape because he's seen me buy before. And it was the tape that has the, you know, the doesn't use ink. It has pressure and it turns the, it's that crazy paper. So okay. And I got the other one was half the price anyway. So I'm happy with a little stationery store.
I think it's time for an intervention here. That you are using a calculator with tape. I probably believe that one of the reasons is that as you're doing this, you're clicking off with your fingers, you hear the noise, and you know that it's going through like that. You know what I'm talking about? Right?
It's actually Mimi that talked me into doing it. Okay. No, the reason is because when you do it, you have a paper tape and you can count the number of things in the back of a check. You know, there's 27, 29, whatever things. You can count them, say you got them right, and then you can look and see if you got the numbers. You missed some zeros or something. I think it's dynamite. I think everyone should use one. And I picked it up at the Salvation, at the Goodwill store for like $5. And it's a beautiful Toshiba. It's like crazy. Meanwhile, my daughter does this. She uses her phone.
Okay, I'm not thinking of it. Forget the phone, where you could do it. Forget the fact
I can
that
do it on the phone.
Forget the fact that the Windows 10 and other Windows has a calculator and has a tape that's constantly going. Forget that. Let's forget that. Okay. You know, there's this funny program called Excel.
You get really fast on a 10 key, by the way, if you have one of these calculators.
They're the same thing on the thing here. I'm so fast on my keyboard. With this,
okay, you can be the, okay.
Because I have a separate, you can get a separate keyboard. You know, you can get a separate 10 key.
Oh, it would cost more than the $5 I paid for this dynamite calculator.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying your carbon footprint is higher than it should be, is all I'm saying. Okay? Unless you're using it doubly for maybe either kindling or maybe in the bathroom, then I'm okay with it.
I just keep it plugged in for a short period.
All right. Well, no, I'm talking about the paper waste.
Oh, hey, paper's good. I like paper.
I know. And you like the sound. I know you. You like the sound of when it's rolling off.
Bang, bang.
Yeah.
You know what? I had it some years ago. I had one of those check printers. Well, so when you make a check out to somebody, you can put it through this thing.
Oh, really?
And then you it embosses the check, the money on there, pay to the order of, and all the rest is dynamite.
That wasn't like a dot matrix, was it?
No, it's a check, the old fashioned check printer with the big handle on it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Those things are the best.
Didn't that have multicolor too, like a red and a blue?
Yes, yeah, I would have to, for your safety.
Right. Right. Anyway, so this whole accelerationist commentary, he talked about this whole thing about, continues on and about, you know, this whole discussion is spiraling out of control and the market's assessments are occurring. Everybody seems to think there's inflation right now, but the Fed is just totally denying it. It's just fascinating to me. Now they're coming up with this word to almost badmouth you if you're thinking there's going to be inflation in the future, like like liberal and conservative. Oh, he's an accelerationist. He's a decelerationist. Was that something?
Not yet, but that would be a good one.
And like a new, what about a neutralist? What about nothing moves? It's a
neutralist. That's what I am.
You're a neutralist. That's crazy. It's crazy. All right. Well, maybe we have something here. There's something interesting. Something that's going to happen. Robinhood, which is going to be IPOing soon after all their trouble and all their problems. They went out again last weekend when they were trying to, I think it was uh, on, Saturday or Sunday, that stuff crashed again. It's kind of crazy with the crypto. Where are we now?
In trouble.
Let's see where we are now. Crypto. Bitcoin at 38.7. Ethereum at 2,750. So that's climbing up a little bit. Robinhood is giving amateur investors, they call it amateur investors. You always have a qualifier, not investors, but amateur investors. Like if you're a professional investor, which I don't know what that means, you can't do it. But I don't think that's true either. They're giving right. I mean, I could probably sign up for a Robinhood account and I'm a professional investor, right?
Yeah.
So they're giving professional or amateur investors the access to initial public offerings, IPOs. In the latest move to democratize retail investing. I still don't understand what that means entirely and why that's good, but okay. Medical scrubs company Figs, which held recent discussions and filed its paperwork to go public with the SEC, will be the first company to offer its shares on the Robinhood app. Figs is going to give up to 1% of the shares, the Class A common shares offered according to it. I don't know if you're going to get like one share. You know what I mean? But that may be an amateur investor. It's like, oh, it's $40. Yeah. Okay, I'll buy it. That's all they were going to buy anyway.
Yeah, it could be, maybe.
But that's kind of an interesting thing that they're trying to do. I think this is actually a good thing to a degree. The only problem I have is if they don't go through the channels to vet some of these companies correctly, a lot of people are going to become bag holders for crap companies that became public. So the richest person over the weekend, we saw a new emergence of a brand new name to the list. It was fashion tycoon Bernard Arnault.
What?
Yep. He overtook Jeff Bezos to become the world's richest person. After his net worth climbed to $186 billion. Now, first of all, I keep on having this question. When Jeff Bezos was married, did they utilize his joint value as his value, or I don't know how they do that.
Remember, well, if he lost half his money in the divorce, which is possible, then his net worth would be less than it was, which was hovering around, I don't know, 100s.
So
who could keep track? 170.
So Jeff Bezos is like 186 billion. This guy had his move to 186.3 billion last week.
For what? Doing what? Who is this guy?
He's the chief executive of Moet Hennessy Louis Vuitton.
Oh, those guys.
Yeah, that's pretty unbelievable.
That's ridiculous. But talk about someone getting leveraged rich.
Well, I mean, when you're selling a leather purse that's probably put together for $150 for $700, the markup pretty good.
But they also have, there are massive conglomerate in the wine and beverage business. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah, Moet.
They own half of the wineries and a lot of the champagne makers are them. Cognac, obviously.
Yep.
Huh.
There you go.
Who knew?
Do you have the? I'm feeling this now. Do you have that calculator anywhere near you?
No.
Yeah. Got to bring it on the show next time. I want to get that sound.
Oh, effect. I had a few things up for you.
I want to get that sound effect. SoftBank. I'm calling this section.
Well, your favorite.
Yes, back that crap. SoftBank backed office sharing startup WeWork reported a first quarter net loss of $2.06 billion as it was hit by restructuring charges when it prepares to go public through a merger with a blank check firm. WeWork in March agreed to go public with a merger with BOWX Acquisition Corp, a special purpose acquisition company, SPAC, in a deal valued at $9 billion. If you remember, though, at the top of this whole charade, WeWork was worth $47
billion. Yeah, I know. It's funny.
Whoops. Quickly going through some of these other things in the back end of the show. Florida, new social media legislation. On Monday this week, Governor Ron DeSantis signed into law the Stop Social Media Censorship Act.
This guy's a troublemaker. You know, he realized one thing he did. He realized that the states can put these laws into place that affect all these social media companies that are like in California, because it's impossible not to be able to, it's impossible to keep your stuff out of Florida.
Of course.
And you say California can do the same thing. We had a number of laws that have been passed here that affect every internet company, whether they're here or not. And then the Germans have one in place about Nazi memorabilia. You can't, you know, you can get a, if you put a site up here and it's promoting fascist, old fashioned Nazi fascism, you could get arrested when you go to Germany.
Well, what he did was he restricting, he's trying to force social media companies, particularly not to moderate or to restrict content related to politics. So it imposes heavy fines up to $250,000 per day on any platform that deactivates the account of a candidate for political office. And it prohibits platforms from taking action against journalistic enterprises. So I'm not sure what that means. But I don't think, you think this is going to hold up in court?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think it will. You watch.
If that does happen, these politicians can say whatever they want.
They can say whatever they want anyway, pretty much.
Yeah, but they'll get banned. They'll, something will happen. You know, I don't know.
Well, they can say whatever they want on, not on some other platform. They can't say whatever they want on Twitter. But what are they going to say that's going to get them votes? That's not, you know, offensive. I don't know. I don't. It's just to keep these guys from abusing the privilege of running these sites, Twitter, Facebook.
Yep.
Pretty much the only two that anyone cares about.
The other thing that Florida did was it ended the enhanced unemployment benefits, I believe, starting in mid-June. Because they're talking about how you, people can't hire in a lot of businesses.
Yeah, you can't get any workers because they're making too much money on this free money.
Right. China, we know about that with all the warnings they had over the weekend. We talked about the Colonial Pipeline issue, the ransomware last week. So lots going on there. But in one ear, out the other, let it go about a week until the nothing happens and China doesn't mention that they're cracking down. And again, anybody forgets about it. Let's forget about it. Yeah, we're not going to. Pornhub, the wife of the billionaire owner of Pornhub's parent company, wants her husband to cut ties with the smut platform that has been mired in controversy. Priscilla Bergmeier said that her husband, Bernard, it's B-E-R-N-D.
Bernie Bergmeier,
the 52-year-old majority owner of MindGeek, wishes he was not in this and expressed the hope for him to separate himself from the porn website. They would have had no problem if they didn't get caught having this minors and other possible sex traffic stuff on the site. They're only upset that they're
You're totally right.
Right, they wouldn't have cared. Now they don't want to be a part of it.
It's just porn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now you had an essay. I love this title of this essay this week. Loved it. The death of expertise and the rise of the internet. Can you explain that, please, and tell people where they can go read this?
Yeah, you can go read his Substack. Go to Dvorak.substack.com. Dvorak.substack.com. It's the latest essay I did for this platform, and it was it's about one of my pet peeves. I've been bitching about this forever. And it began years ago when I couldn't find the best weed whacker because you can't go online to find anything because all the review sites are bogus. They're most of them with very few exceptions, although there are some. Yeah. They give, you know, they're just selling the product. They say, here's the top three weed whackers, and there's three of them. And this one, and this one. And the top one has got five stars, and then there's four, and then three. And we're, by the way, we're selling this one at the top. So they're all phony baloney sales sites. But then I started noticing that with any expertise item, like how to cook something, it's unbelievable how bad these were. And from reputable sites, I mean, or seemingly reputable sites, you go there and they have, you should do this and you should do that and you should do this. And the advice is bad. It's bad advice.
That's assuming
it's getting worse.
But that's assuming you could actually get through the article, because I was looking for an article today on a strange item, but I was looking on how to prepare green papaya, okay? And
for you're going to pickle it?
Actually, interesting you mentioned that. So this weekend, next week, I prepared some smoked pulled pork, and I'm making some pork belly burnt ends. And I'm going to put that on a sandwich, and I pickled cucumbers, onions, garlic, and carrots. I'm going to slice that up, and I'm going to put the going to mix that gently in with green papaya, put that on top of the sandwich with some crunchy onions and roasted peanuts.
Sounds dynamite. Let's open a restaurant.
Oh, and a kimchi mayonnaise.
Well, now you're starting. Now it's starting to sound a little like heartburn. But go on.
The point is that going through this article on my phone, trying to go, it was every time I went somewhere, it would take me somewhere else. Till I got to the information where it was buried in the bottom below all these crazy links and places to look and nothing there to use. Terrible.
This is like the triggering, the real triggering mechanism for this was my experiences with Wagyu beef.
Mm.
Wagyu beef. And the only that nobody seems to know how to cook it, including the people who grow these animals. They overcook it. It's just Wagyu beef, which looks like a prime cut of meat, especially when you use the better cuts. I'm not talking about the Wagyu that costs $200 a pound. I'm talking about the stuff you get at American Wagyu, you get at Costco.
Gotcha.
And you look at it, it looks like prime meat because it gets all this marbling. But the marbling is not the same kind of fat that you have on normal cows.
Not at all.
And so as soon as you start cooking it, that fat starts to disappear into the pan, and you end up with a piece of impossible to eat meat. It's tough. I don't care. So there's until you find the Japanese who show how to cook it gently, which is exactly the opposite of the way I like my beef. I like it with a crusty outside and tasty. You can't do that with Wagyu. It's a different animal, and it's like it's just lies about the temperatures. One guy says this, one guy says that. It's just lies. And I went to the Gordon Ramsay site where you'd think you'd find something that was, oh man, Gordon Ramsay, he'll know what he's doing. They don't even acknowledge the fact that it's a different kind of animal. Mm. They don't know what they're talking about.
Mm. Well, in the future on that subject, if you do need help with that meat, just call me. I got a couple of ways you can make it the way you'd like it. You have to use a sous vide and then you have to torch it. That may be too much work to do, but I'm just telling you. Or you can use just a sous vide, which is not hard to do, and just put it in a cast iron skillet.
I have a problem with sous vide in general.
What?
And it's a philosophical problem, and it's something that we can discuss at some other time.
Okay, moving along. Sous vide hater. Summer Olympics. A lot of people are all pissed off. U.S. issues a level 4 advisory for Japan. Do not travel. New poll in Japan finds 83% of the people don't want the Olympics. Now they have Masayoshi-san. What's his face? How do you say his name? Masayoshi-san. Yeah, that's it. From SoftBank. He's pushing hard with other businesses to not have the Olympics, which is bizarre. Obviously, China's got them under the thumb or something like that, and there's one for Japan. I don't know what's going on. Something fishy. Weird. Yeah. And bonds magically prices are rising, yields are dropping even after all this inflation data and the yields
it's
now
the big talk of the town.
What?
The bond thing.
Yeah. 10-year yields are below 1.6%. That's pretty unbelievable. So, there you go. All right, we got to rush it along here.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
All right, we're running a little bit low on time here this evening, so quickly, things look good.
Well, let's start with your train technologies back in the day, 104% gain. FVC Bancorp, which has got to be a very conservative bet, is up 73%. But when you go down to the more recent picks that we have on here, I see our Dillard's short is within one show is up almost 7%. Mm-hmm. That was a joint pick.
Yep.
And and American Airlines, my long on that is up a bit.
I will mention your GameStop is not right on what you're looking at. It was closed out for an 8.79% gain.
Okay, so that's up another 8%. I'm just
racking them up. Racking them up.
I'm racking them up. So let's do that again.
I got that. Go again, six. It's on there.
Oh, that's gonna be kill this time. This is gonna be one of the best ones. and the only things that haven't done well are a couple of these more crazy things like the ETF, the ETFMG, and the Studio City International Holdings, which I believe was mine. That should be stopped out. I mean, killed, seems to me. And everything else looks pretty good. It's pretty, yeah. Except the pro share is short treasury.
Yeah, that's amazing, in my opinion. That I bought.
Yeah,
that
it's ridiculous. It was risky to begin with.
Do you have anything for this week? Because I do not.
We just need the GameStop.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We need to come up with a close to the pin. So we'll talk about that. We're going to end that because we're running a little bit late. So I'm going to see you again next week.
All right. See you then. Right, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Advertisements are not related to the host or affiliates and are not considered recommendations by the host of the show or any affiliates of Horowitz and Company.